We thank the one Lord of us all for blessing us to meet here in Cleveland at the Cleveland Convention Center. And we pray that each and every one of us benefit greatly from this visit, this convention. I believe that many of you have already sensed the benefit and blessing from your participation in the workshops, even from your spirit to come here, and your coming here together in the spirit of Muslims for good intentions in support of what you know to be right. Our God says in our holy book, God of us all, never will we reach the goal for us while the corrupted are still mixed in with the non-corrupted.
Yes, sir.
This American society over the last 15 or 20 years has given itself freely and blindly to a wild and corrupt idea of freedom. And many of us who call ourselves Muslims marked by are victims of it. But I thank Allah that slowly and in a divine way I'm seeing the elimination of corrupt ones and the increase in the number of the good ones.
Yes, sir. All right.
We know we cannot convert people to righteousness. They have the desire in their hearts. But what we can do is reject their company.
Yes.
And that's what I try to do. We're not here this beautiful convention center here, going through all of this expense on ourselves, individually and on the community, to win corrupt people over to our cause.
That's right.
God says in the Holy Book, do not you see how God makes a parable of a good word that is as a good tree? Its roots are firmly established, his branches reach up toward the heavens, giving its products, its fruits or its products, at all times, with the permission of its Lord. And God straps up a parable for you, that is, pardon me, and God straps up a parable for the people, the people, that they may be thoughtful. And a parable of a corrupt word is as a corrupt tree. Its roots are shallow in the earth, and there is not for it any stability. And God makes firm those who believe by the word that is firm. In this world and in the hereafter. And God leads the straight those who are wrongdoers. And he does, and God does, whatsoever he wills. And God speaks the truth. This is from the Quran. This is from the Quran. From the last revelation of God, the complete revelation that God sent, completing what was before and establishing it for all time. The Quran, the Word of God, the Muslim book. Now let us look at ourselves in light of this parable and the divine wisdom illumined from those words, shining forth from those words. If we accept that, and I'm speaking to Muslims now, if we accept that, then we should know that we cannot be firmly established in the earth before rejecting corruption. If you want to be firmly established in the earth, first reject corruption. God give us many signs in his creation. Life comes up out of an environment that is corrupt. But life does not accept corruption into its life or into itself. The plant, the seed, the plant coming forth from mud, filth, it does not allow that filth to come into itself. When you eat it from that filthy place, you don't eat the filth. You eat a clean life. It has left the filth outside of it. It has selected only that was clean. That's the first thing we have to decide on. There's no political awareness without moral awareness. There's no kind of awareness without moral awareness. It all began with moral awareness. The great life of civilized society, whether it came from Asia, from Africa, or Europe, or Ireland, wherever great civilized life has sprung up, it sprung up because there was first right thinking on the part of the people. And then God blessed them with vision, insight, and direction. And they forget, as Allah's word says, and they forget after he blessed them, they forget. and then the blessing is taken away. Or he let them go blindly on in their trespasses, thinking that they are constructing something that will stay. But God says, the corrupt will vanish, will perish. And God says, what is with us shall endure, and what is with you shall perish. That is, the corruptible will perish, and the good will stay. Many of us think it's weakness on the part of people nowadays to call the mind to morality, to good behavior. Many of us talk about political leaders, religious leaders, community leaders. Many have become so afraid, they are intimidated by the extent of corruption in the life of society today. They are intimidated to the point that they are afraid to knock on the door of moral conscience.
Yes.
But I love it.
Yes, sir. All right, Bob.
I know it's our salvation.
Yes.
And I know that attitude is our failure, our shortcoming, our weakness in the face of the great opportunity that we have on this earth today. In spite of the moral climate being bad, the society today is blessed to have information, knowledge, understanding of the reality of man on this planet that it did not have before. And if we just can clean up our hearts, clean up our thoughts, dedicate ourselves again to moral excellence as well as other kinds of excellence, we can make great strides, not only for ourselves, but for humanity upon this earth today.
Yes.
It's a shame when we see the opportunity that's before us and the moral neglect in our lives that's denying us progress. This is not addressed to this audience. This is addressed to this climate, this attitude, this ugliness in the life of Americans. For all I know, none of you are guilty of this. Peace and blessings be upon him. Our prophet said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu tab'an lima ji'tu bihi." None of you will be believers until your inclinations follow what I have been sent with. And he was sent to us with the Quran and with his sunnah, his own example of how it should be lived, according to his own words. Peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, the Messenger of God. What keep our moral life in good shape? Watching over our inclinations. Guarding ourselves against disturbing destructive inclinations. When we sense in us feelings, desires, that we know are not approved before God, the true believers fight the inclinations. And the blessed prophet, he said, لَنْ تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَنْ تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تُحَابُوا. Never will you enter paradise until you become a believer. And you will never become a believer until you practice love. Some of us are attracted to the practical and rational emphasis in our religion, Al-Islam. And we forget that this religion is not only the best for the intellectual, but it is the best also for the ignorant. It is the best for the ignorant who doesn't have the tools of intellect or the development of intellect to protect him. He only has faith. He only has faith in good nature and good morals to protect him. This religion is also for that person. And you, with all of your intellect, all of your intellectual achievement, you cannot benefit from this religion until you become like that poor Muslim man and woman who believes in God and follows their best inclinations. And our best inclinations that God has given us as human beings, the natural inclinations of a human being, require him that he love the creatures of God. And that he practice love and not check the impulse to show kindness, the impulse to do good, the impulse to show courtesy, the impulse to come to the assistance of one needing our assistance. This climate that has developed over the last 15 or 20 years in this country conditions citizens of this country to reject the pure human inclinations and to follow the inclinations of the beast, the savage, brutal beast. One sister, she wrote me, very dear sister, we've been following, seeking fullness of this man of life for 50 some years. She wrote me recently and she told me of her husband. She said, you know him. So he continues to preach that God, man, black man is God, the white man is the devil. While all around him in this city, blacks are cruelly mistreating blacks, taking advantage of blacks, and making miserable the life of blacks.
Yes.
She wrote me those words. Last week I received a letter, and I said to myself, no matter how strong the evidence, if a person's spirit and desire is in wrong, there's no help coming to them until they change the state of their own soul, as God says to us in the Quran. Let me repeat, there is no political awareness without moral awareness. God inspired in Muhammad a hadith. There are many hadiths or sayings, reports of the Prophet, peace and the blessing be on him. Some of them were inspired as revelation, but not on the superior plane of revelation as Quran. It was not intended to be part of the completion of the religion that we see in the contents in the composition of the Quran. Nevertheless, they were inspired by God, and the Prophet said, and it is reported, he gives the words that God inspired in him of God. Ya ibadi, إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا فلا تظالموا. He said, God said, O my slaves, or my servants, it's translated sometimes, but there it means, O my slaves, surely I have forbidden oppression for myself, and I have made it forbidden among you. Therefore, do not oppress. I won't comment on that. Again, the prophet, he said, peace and the blessing be on him. Never did a descendant of Adam enjoy a meal more than he enjoyed that he lawfully earned with his own work. What does that tell us? That if we want happiness, if we want to enjoy, then accept to work for it. Don't accept to be a beggar. Don't accept to be constantly on the welfare roll, around with your hand out waiting on somebody to give you. Don't eat food all the time and enjoy it when you know you yourself didn't work for it. If you have to do it, then at least have in your stomach a distaste, a rejection for it, and tolerate it only until you can have dignity. Don't accept it as a permanent situation, like too many of us have done. Again, I believe political awareness is the awareness of how political involvement, or its neglect, betters or worsens our situations. Again, there can be no political awareness without awareness of our own situation. What we want for our situation as a people or as a community decides our political involvement, or should decide our political involvement. Getting involved politically should be an activity that registers or calls us to register not only disapproval of things, but also approval of things. There's a tendency in us, especially in the African Americans, Black Americans, there's a tendency in us to register disapproval and to voice disapproval. But to build a political campaign on disapproval, it would be better to have our disapproval follow or surface upon our approval of things. Let's begin first with what we approve of, and let what we approve of show us what we shouldn't approve of, rather than just respond emotionally and register every complaint or everything that troubles our soul, or everything that hurts us inside or in our community or in our situation. A troubled people or community should take care to know how much of this effort and involvement is aiming at spiritual relief only. Our great numbers in this country, great numbers of the poor, the underrepresented of this country, their involvement, their support, their political involvement, their support for political leaders and for the Democratic Party, all of that support, all of that allegiance, all of that involvement should have produced more than what we have. The reason why it hasn't produced what it should produce is that for most of us, it's an exercise. An exercise in the expression of grievances for a relief in the soul, a relief for the spirit. That's why there's no relief, really, in our community life. There's no relief in our business life as a people. Because we are motivated by an urge to seek merely spiritual relief. We say we want jobs, we want better jobs, we want better opportunity, we want better representation for our numbers in government, we want a better share of our taxes, etc., etc. But the results and our patience, our attitude in the face of the results says that really most of us are satisfied just to voice our grievances, just to join a big crowd, just to demonstrate with the masses for spiritual relief only. How much is formed by intelligent observation? By analysis, or consultation with others who have something to offer, directly or indirectly. That is, have assistance for us in their knowledge, or in the knowledge of them, or in the knowledge of how they performed when they were in similar condition or in a similar situation. 100 years prior to my birth, I was born, so the record says, in 1933. The English were cruelly commanding the life and activities of the Irish people. They were commanding the life of the Irish people while occupying the country of the Irish. The Irish had hardly any life worth living during the days of that ugly dominance in their country by the English. The English were in complete control of Ireland and the Irish life situation. I thought we were the only people that had been disgraced, denied our manhood respect to the extent we find in the history what occurred in the South Plantation during slavery in Africa, where a man could expect at any time there's a black man, white boss or land ambassador, to come in and speak to his wife approaches wife right with faith, take his wife out of the house and use her and bring her back, he could not say anything for fear of losing his life. I thought we were the only people and stuff like that. But I read in credible books, reports, that the Irish suffered the same. About 100 years before I was born, under the English people, that their family life, the roles of the family, were completely destroyed by the treatment they received at the hands of the English that were cruelly dominating them. Awareness of our situation means awareness of the past living in us and conditioning us, insisting upon that which has universal respect and respecting what we broadcast ourselves will cause respect to come to us.